Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. You know you can say something.
I want to say nothing.
There you do. Welcome to WFSO Clapback. My computer's having a little time. It seems like I already got to try to reload.
Hopefully you guys can still hear us. But yeah, this is WFSO Clapback with two wonderful people, especially me.
Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm Artrell with my special guest host, Hazel Jones.
Me? Yeah. Why do I want to be your special guest host?
You're a special guest
I'm host. I'm the brains behind the operation.
Right.
Am I or am I not fabulous?
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Right.
You can start the interview off while I go make a cup of tea.
Can you give me a drink, too?
What did your last name die of?
I'm just asking.
Yeah, I guess I can manage that one.
Thank you.
Take your trash out, too, you lady.
Hey! It wasn't on purpose. But, anyways, why she... does what she needs to do, because she's going to, with this interview, she's going to cut in and ask questions as well. So without further ado, our guest at this time, sorry, Libby, our guest at, no, it's not that, it's just like with these freaking pop-ups. Yeah, I'm having a little bit of trouble here. Oh, yeah, there we go. So, our guest at this time, we interviewed him like a few weeks. No, it was not a few weeks ago, but it was like right back in, like around last month. So, where Michael D. Isler, hopefully I said that right.
Michael Isler.
Isler. Okay. So, yeah, I got that right. But, anyways, we interviewed him like a month ago, but we're going to talk about some like different questions, mainly about, you know, about sports injuries and things like that. So that's what we're going to talk about. And I know she's going to add, took the last one, did you? Oh.
I'm pretty. I'm
allowed. Like I said, I don't. You probably would like those better than I did.
Coconut.
Yeah, like coconut, but not like on or anything like that.
Are you going to start the interview or going to sit there and talk about me eating a cupcake?
Yeah, it's about you eating a cupcake. I know Mike don't mind, but just kidding. So, Mike, how are you?
Fine. And by the way, let me correct you. My last name is pronounced Isler, by the way, not Isler.
Okay, thanks.
Because
you know the language of English, that we got to, like, try to say some stuff right, so.
Better say stuff right. You're talking with probably one of the best English people ever.
Yeah.
Don't you have me like that? Or I won't let you see me wrap my tongue around in something.
Okay. Go ahead and start the interview. I gotta.
I'm about to make a cup of tea. What am I supposed to say? Hey, Mike, how are you?
Fine.
Okay. Good. How's the family?
Well, we just had dinner, so everybody is full. But other than that, everybody else is good.
That's good. Okay, so tell us this. You actually have wrestled. You wrestle most of the time. You wrestle with your brother and everything. But which, like, professional wrestlers, like, in the WWE, are, like, influences in your life?
Well, I don't really have any influences because, you know, the business has changed since I've been watching it. And I haven't been watching it all that often because it's pretty much the same thing over and over again. But growing up, I would probably have to say, let's see, I'd probably have to go with Hulk Hogan, Macho Man Randy Savage, the Ultimate Warrior. Tag team wise, I don't know. I guess like Demolition, the Hart Foundation, those guys. But my all-time favorite that I usually watched it all the time for was The Undertaker. That's like my favorite wrestler of all time. So I guess as most kids growing up watching wrestling, they always cheered for the good guy. And I was one of those. I was one of those kids that usually cheered for the good guy. But if I had to say anybody, it would probably be The Undertaker because he had like a gimmick that nobody else had ever done, and he took it to a level beyond anybody else would have ever thought of taking it. And then, of course, I forgot to mention Stone Cold Steve Austin. He was another good one. I was actually live at King of the Ring when the phrase Austin 316 was actually born. I was actually at that event, so I guess I'm a part of history then.
Oh, that's cool. She did something here. This year's WrestleMania was going on and things like that. So how do you feel about Undertaker retiring?
Well, I knew it was coming, but I didn't think they did it right with him losing. You know, they should have just had him win, you know, because it was his last go-around. They should have just had him win and then, you know, bid his farewell on Raw or whatever. But, you know, I don't write the storyline, and I don't work for WWE, so... I was actually shocked. I didn't think that would be his last match, considering he lost. But hey, I can't do anything about that. I guess that's the way he wanted it.
Right, exactly. I guess I was kind of hoping for maybe the same thing as you said, Raw or SmackDown would be like your final send off or whatever.
No, come on. Just be sensible about this. If Undertaker's going to retire, which he did, the best place for him to do it would be at WrestleMania, because that's where he had his streak and everything. Admittedly, the whole thing with Brock Lesnar was bullshit, beyond bullshit, bullshit.
Right, he never should have lost against
Brock. No, he shouldn't. He should have retired on a winning streak. But if he's going to retire anyway, have him retire at WrestleMania. Firstly, I cheered when that motherfucker retired, because what are we going to do? Be wheeling him out in a coffin in like 20 years with a spring loaded to his back, and it'll be like, WrestleMania 50, and here's The Undertaker. I mean, it was just like, enough already. Enough already. He's done. Just let him go. I'm done with him.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
You know my thoughts when people are arrested.
No, I know what you're saying. It was his time.
Okay, so female wrestler-wise, who are your favorite female wrestlers? It doesn't have to be obviously because you just said that you don't really watch it now, but from the era that you were watching it and that it was like where you were more into WWE, which female wrestlers were the ones who you liked better?
Females. Well, of course, in the era I grew up in, there really weren't any female wrestlers. Most of them were all valets, you know, like, I would probably have to say my favorite one from, like, the rock and roll era, which was, like, the 80s and the 90s. I know a lot of people would probably agree with me on this, but she was an accomplished wrestler. If most people don't know this, I don't know if they know this or not, but I would probably have to say Sherry Martel. She was my favorite from the rock and roll era, especially since she managed some of the greats. You know, she managed Macho Man Randy Savage, Million Dollar Man, Harlem Heat. She managed Shawn Michaels. It took his career to a new platform. But she was also a women's champion when she was wrestling. So I'd probably have to go with Sherry Martel in the rock and roll era. In the Attitude era... Let's see. I can't really say I had a favorite in the Attitude Era. You know, they had some good people out there, you know, like Chyna and Trish Stratus and whatnot. But, you know, I watched them because of probably most guys watched them, eye candy. Because they had most of the females in the Attitude Era, you know, doing things like bra and panties matches and Austin and, you know, evening gown matches. Oh, I left out a person. One of, besides Sherry Martel, another female wrestler that I loved was Jacqueline Moore.
Oh, Jacqueline.
You know,
she
managed, you know, Mark Merrill and whatnot, and then she was the Cruiserweight champion. And then she went to TNA and she became.
You mentioned Chyna, okay? Now, everybody knows that Chyna and Triple H had a thing, and Triple H basically screwed her over along with Vince McMahon because of Stephanie. What was your whole thoughts on how the McMahons and Triple H and everybody treated Chyna? Do you think she was treated poorly, or do you think she got what she deserved? What were your thoughts?
I don't work there, so I don't know what really went on behind the scenes, but the way, like, they presented Chyna, of course, Triple H and Shawn Michaels brought her into the company. She was trained by the same guy Triple H was, you know, the legendary Killer Kowalski, but she accomplished something that no woman has ever done. You know, she's the first woman to ever win the Royal Rumble. She was the first woman to ever hold a male-dominated title. So, she got pushed beyond, her character got pushed way beyond any female wrestler has ever got pushed. So, besides from the backstage politics, I can't really say, but I don't see how they did her poorly in any way.
Okay, so there was times when she actually did want to come back, and she was actually, if AJ can correct me if I'm wrong on this, she was actually turned down numerous times for wanting to come down, to coming back. She was turned down and all that lot, and a lot of it was based on the fact that people within the company were concerned, as in Triple H and Vince McMahon, that Chyna was going to spill some beans about, you know, what went on between her and that lot. So, but does this actually make you wonder, though, as, you know, somebody who's been in local wrestling and everything, and how people tend to, like, sleep their way to the top, so to speak, how do you think those type of politics run over into local wrestling? I know me and AJ have probably seen more behind the scenes than maybe you have, but do you see that, or have you noticed that a lot in local wrestling? How, hold on one second. Okay. How, what's the word I'm looking for, Tro? It's like, do you see in local wrestling where, promoters and everything play favorites or would do favors for their favorite wrestlers and that type of thing?
Oh, like favoritism.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, for one of the companies that I worked for originally, I'm not going to name anybody's names because I don't want to step anybody's toes, but I did see some favoritism in that corporation, you know, like how the owner of the company, who also was a competitor, seemed that he wanted to keep himself on the highest plateau to where it seemed like nobody could touch him. And then it seemed like it had, like, the same guys with the titles all the time. You know, I understand that they were, like, probably, like, they're longer than anybody, and they were, like, the money makers. But, you know, give somebody else a chance. You can't push another superstar if you decide to keep yourself on top.
Exactly. My other thoughts are, and I don't know if you were ever privy to it, but the term wrestling rat appears to happen a lot. when it comes to females within the wrestling business trying to sleep their way, you know, around with wrestlers or promoters. Is that something that you witnessed, or was you lucky enough to not, you know, get seen or witness any of that?
Me personally, I've never seen it because most of the time when I competed, I was doing one or two things. I was either one, getting ready for my match, and then two, you know, getting my mindset ready and what I was going to go out there and do, and you know, get the fan reaction, you know, feed off of them. Myself personally, I kind of like just kept to myself. Now, if any of that stuff went on behind the scenes, I was not a part of it because, you know, what's the point of being, you know, when you're a wrestler, your job is to entertain. That's the way I see it. You know, I'm going out there and giving the fans what they want. So if anything like that ever happened, I would have no knowledge of it because I never took part in any of it. That's just my opinion. If it happened, I wouldn't know anything about it.
I mean, I know that all three of us actually worked for one promotion that will remain nameless. It's where we actually all met. And I know for a fact of a couple of ring rat incidents with that. But what do you think about wrestling in Wisconsin? Do you think it's a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Should there be more of it? Should there be more training available? What are your thoughts?
Well, being that I haven't done it in a while, and I actually kind of do miss the adrenaline rush of it, and hopefully one day I'll make a comeback. But I don't really know about a lot of the feds here. You know, some of them are still around, I guess, and some of them, I guess, just got ran into the ground. But, you know, I really don't have any opinions on that. It'd be nice if it would be more promotions and more trainers out there that people can go to, you know, if they're interested in doing it. But I really don't have an opinion on that matter because I really, like I said, I haven't done it in so long. I don't really know, so. That's my opinion on it. I don't really have an answer for that.
Okay. We're going to get into the topic with injuries. Like, I know it's kind of hard with, you know, some wrestlers like having injuries and stuff. Like, and you recently with your back, and because I know we talked earlier about you wanting to come back. So, like, with your back injury, like, for like a wrestler that has like injuries, or whatever, what would be their mindset on what they trying to come back to like try to wrestle and stuff like that for them making the return? So, what is your mindset on how will a wrestler, you know, stay focused on trying to get back better than ever?
My mindset, well, I guess it's just the healing process and I guess making sure that, you know, you are good to go because you don't want to get injured. Of course, nobody wants to get injured and then return and not know if you're back to where you can actually compete because I'm guessing there's no worse feeling in the world than to get injured and then be in the ring and get injured in the same spot and then be back on the shelf again. Because as you have seen in WWE and with most wrestlers, they had to retire because of said injuries, like Edge was one, you know, his neck injury. Daniel Bryan was another. So I don't know how severe their injuries was because I never had to actually endure anything like that. But I guess the best thing to do is to wait it out and see how your body reacts to it.
Yeah, okay, I get that, but how's your training coming along, trying to make a return?
Well, right now I don't have a trainer. I would like to have one, but money's kind of tight right now. But hopefully, since I'll be working pretty soon,
hopefully with that I can find the good trainer to go to and get back into the swing of things, I guess.
Okay, like all the local wrestlers that's out there, like, who do you wish to face?
He needs to go against his brother, to be perfectly honest. Because I think that would be awesome to see them two fight each other. Because you could bring into the ring, when you fight against your brother, all the stuff that has pissed you off with him since you were a kid. I'm telling you now, if I hadn't hurt my back and still trained as a wrestler with my brother, I would have gladly faced my brother in a ring. I would have whooped his ass from one side to the other and not have lost a minute of sleep over it. Okay.
I can see
where Hazel is coming from, but with me, like especially me making a comeback, I probably would face my brother first, and not because of those reasons, but not because of the reasons that Hazel threw out there, but it's because my brother knows my limits. He knows what I can do. He knows what I can't do. So he would actually he can actually put me over to make me look that much better, especially since it'll be like a comeback match for me.
Yeah, I could see that.
And since my brother is also a heel, and me coming back, I'll be like a baby face. It would mesh perfectly because for those of the people that are listening now who know my brother, they know how good of a competitor he is. And since he knows me and I know him and he knows what I can do and I cannot do, he could put me over. So it'd make my character look that much better.
Yeah, I can see that. That's true. Because let's be honest, your brother knows your limits probably better than anybody else. And as you said, he could make you look good and all of that stuff. My view still works, though. You need to get in the ring at one point or another with your siblings and beat the living crap out of them. Because, especially in my case, being the younger one, I've been picked on by my brothers my entire freaking life. Even now, I'm still picked on by my brothers. You have seen Jake. You have seen how my brother Jake picks on me on Facebook. He's a bastard. I will beat his ass when I see him. But being able to get in the ring, I think also the other thing is that if you're able to wrestle against like your brother or your sister or, you know, somebody who really, really knows you well, it does bring out, look, just leave out frosting on my face from a cupcake. You don't need to point it out, Trump.
It looks like something else, but
it probably does look like a cum shot. Thank you very much. A cupcake came on my face. Are you happy now? It was coconut cup.
I wouldn't know anything about that. I wouldn't. I'm not as that.
Being able to get in the ring with somebody who knows your limits and knows how to bring out the best of you, I think is probably also good when you are doing your comeback. Because you... That was just gunfire. I don't know if you heard that. Did you just hear that, Mike?
No. Yeah, I heard that.
That
was somebody banging on the door.
Are they running? Okay. Hold on one second. I just carry on.
Okay. Let's try to get back to the interview, as always. Anyways, who would be that one other person besides your brother who you would like to go up against?
At this time, I really don't have another person because, I would probably eventually get pushed to go against somebody else, but right now it would probably be just him because not only is it brother versus brother, and we really are brothers, but like I said, he can make me look better than what I actually am. So it'd be, you know, and people love those kind of feuds when it's like family related. You know, look what happened with Brett and Owen. You know, everybody loved that. or like when a tag team breaks up after so many years and, you know, they square off, you know, to see who's the better of the two. That happened with the Rockers, and of course that happened with my brother also, him and Nell when they were the Outcast movement. So, you know, I guess people like that kind of drama. So it would actually make for good ratings, if you want to say it, to have brother versus brother, especially the younger brother versus the older brother, you know. I guess it makes for good. I guess it makes for good crowd reaction.
Oh, if it's sister versus brother, if it comes to that, it'll be just kind of strange. You know what I mean? But you also had another brother that used to wrestle with you guys, right? Or used to rap?
My oldest brother, he's the one that actually got me and my youngest brother started. And then my middle, like, because it's four of us, you know, it's my youngest brother, my little brother, myself, and my older brother. My older brother actually got me and my brother started. It was like a backyard wrestling. And then as it progressed and we went to the company, little did I know that the owner of the company brought in my little brother, and he was a referee. And damn, he and I did a good job. He was like the Theodore Long of that federation. I know y'all probably remember when Theodore Long was a referee. But yeah, that's pretty much how he was. He was all over the place. But as it stands, it's just my youngest brother right now is the one that's leading the pack in the wrestling corporation. I want to get back in there. But right now, I don't have anybody to train with, so it's kind of up in the air with that right now.
Ask your brother to train you.
He could do that, but there's limitations. You know, you can't really do very much when you don't have anywhere to train at.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, that is very true. Because I know there's, like, other people that's having, like, trainings and stuff like that, but I get what you're saying, that you'd rather be trained by your brother than, like, anywhere else. But
I wouldn't mind being trained by him. I actually asked him to do it for me on numerous occasions, but then, like I just said, he threw it out there. He's like, you know, there's not really much that we can do when you don't have anywhere to actually train at. I'm like, yeah, that's true. Like, there's only so much stuff you can do until you actually have to get in the ring and do it. I was like, yeah, we don't have a ring, so, yeah.
That's true. I think they should, you know, have a place where, you know, wrestlers can do, like, their training. They don't have to get charged or anything like that. Especially, like, former wrestlers want to come back and, you know, can, you know, be trained and stuff like that.
Right.
Seriously, if y'all had a ring and y'all were I guarantee you, if you and Hazel had a ring and y'all asked me to come train, I would be there. I'd be like, yep, I'm on my way. Wouldn't care what I was doing. I'm like, yep, I'm on my way.
Don't give him ideas. Every penny that he gets trying to find a cheap freaking wrestling ring. I'm telling you right now.
Well, we gotta find a place too, so.
Set it up in the street and charge the neighborhood kids.
Oh, yeah, I guess that blank space in the back could help, so that'd be something.
Anywho,
we're out of time, and Mike, once again, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
Bye.
Yeah, have a good one.
Thanks. Bye.
That was Mike, ladies and gentlemen. Next week, I'm going to try to look for somebody to do the interview with. Just going to try to do it. But, get his brother on there. That may be a good idea, but we don't know. So I'll probably mention something in the middle of the week just to see, let y'all know who's going to be on there. So check out WrestlingFansSpeakOut.Weebly.com. Also, look for us on Facebook, MySpace. Also, check out our YouTube videos.
Twitter.
We're on Twitter as well, so check those out. And just...
And check me out, because I'm fabulous and have a nice ass.
Well, anyway, thanks to our special guest host. Maybe we can do this again.
I'm on it.
Yeah. Hey.
And you made fun of my cupcake frosting.
You said it out loud. I wasn't trying to say it on radio. I wasn't trying to do that. But anyways, I might do the Archer's Own Show tomorrow, but I will let you guys know the time and all that. So it's probably going to be a different time than his normal time, but we'll see. But until then, you guys have a good night, and hopefully y'all listen to me tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.